A couple weeks ago, my wife and I, Anne, we celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary. You know? I know. Yeah. I know what some of you are thinking. Wow, she must be a saint. Yeah, she is. She truly is a great woman of God. But we went to our favorite restaurant, a place where we have celebrated numerous anniversaries over the years, and we just reminisced about our wedding day. Now, here's a picture of the newlyweds. I know, I can read your mind. You're thinking, man, you were really good looking back then. Now it's all starting to make sense, right? I kind of let it go, and this is what she's left with. But we celebrated, we reminisced about all these things that happened, like the ice storm that hit on the day of our wedding. That was an interesting thing. And then the ceremony itself and the amount of food that my Italian mother-in-law planned for this reception. Crazy amount of food. And then there was the celebration there, and then we kind of reminisced about all these special people that made it to the wedding that day to celebrate with us. And then we laughed about our vows, okay? Because my wife thought it would be a good idea if we would just memorize our vows and then recite them from memory during the ceremony, which all I remember of, I don't even remember the vows. I just remember how nerve-wracking it was, right? But we remembered the vows flawlessly, and little did I know that that would be the easy part of the vows, okay? The vows would be a little harder to live out over the course of life. Thinking about that important day resurrected some meaningful and momentous memories of our that reinforced our relationship. And it reminded us just how special this relationship that we have has been. Reflecting on important things can have a profound impact on your life. And we see that in the Christmas story. Luke writes this, he says, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." Mary has this moment of reflection. It's after the birth of Jesus. The shepherds have just left, and then we read this verse in Luke's account. And Luke says, Mary treasured up all these things. You know, to treasure up something means to guard it or to keep it close or to keep it safe, right? And we treasure things that we value, don't we? And like most moms, Mary valued the birth of Jesus and all the experience that led up to it. And then Luke says that she pondered these things, these treasured up things. She pondered them in her heart. To ponder, a word we don't use a lot today, but pondering means to think carefully or to reflect or to contemplate on something. All of these things that had happened were a lot to take in when they happened. And so now Mary has taken a moment to reflect back. She wanted to understand all that God was doing. Now what were the things that Mary was reflecting on? Well, we're not exactly sure, but I think we could make a pretty good guess on what they were. The first would have been this visit from an angel that Mary experienced. We read this in Luke, the first chapter, verse 26 and following. It says, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, Mary's probably remembering how terrified she was when an angel shows up. But he quickly calms her down. And he says this, he says, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." And then Mary would have remembered just how confused she was in that moment, thinking, how can I have a baby? I'm still a virgin. To which the angel answered her question, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." And then the angel made a promise to Mary that likely she never forgot. He said, "For no word from God will ever fail. And after that, Mary said yes to the Lord's request. She was starting to understand how significant her role was in all of this. She was starting to realize that she would be the mother to the Son of God. Well, this certainly was a significant experience, one worth remembering and reflecting on. But there was another event that happened that also was something Mary likely pondered, and that was the visit that Joseph had from an angel. Mary was pledged to be married to the man Joseph. And to be pledged to be married meant that Joseph had made an agreement with Mary's father that he would take her home as his wife. Now, this pledge was legally binding. It was like being married without having had a wedding ceremony yet or without the physical relationship. Mary likely recalled the moment she realized that she was pregnant and how awkward it was in trying to explain all this to Joseph. You can imagine, right? She explained to him everything that had happened, and it may have gone something like this. Joseph, I know this is going to sound completely crazy, but an angel told me that I was going to have a baby who is the Son of God. And then she pauses to look and see, is he still with her? And he is. So she continues. She says, the angel said the Holy Spirit will come on me and that I am going to conceive a child who is called Jesus. Honestly, Joseph, I promise you, that's exactly what happened. Now put yourself in Joseph's shoes. I'm not buying it. I mean, the angel argument, I'm not buying that. We don't know what Joseph's response was. Was he angry? Was he just emotionally devastated? We have no idea how he reacted, but what we do know is what he planned to do because Matthew tells us that. He says, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her privately. Mary remembered this moment, how devastating it was for her. But she also remembered how God intervened. You see, an angel visited Joseph that night in a dream, and he said this to Joseph, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And you know, the next morning, Joseph did as the angel had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Mary understood something about her future husband in that moment, and that was that when the angel spoke, he listened and he obeyed. And that would be something that she probably cherished throughout their marriage together, that Joseph was a man who would listen to God and follow his lead. This too was an incredible happening that was worth remembering for Mary. But there was one other significant happening that Mary most likely reflected on, and that was when an angel visited a group of shepherds. Mary reminisced about this group of shepherds, certainly a bunch of guys very rough around the edges, who arrived not long after she had just delivered this baby. They came in, and to Mary's surprise, they already knew that Jesus was the Messiah. They explained to Mary that an angel had told them all about it. The shepherds said, "The angel told us, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then they said, all of a sudden, the sky lit up with singing angels. Yeah, thousands of them praising God. They said, the shepherds explained to her how incredible all of this was. And then just like that, it was over. And it was like normal again. Except it wasn't normal anymore. They said, let's go to Bethlehem and find the Messiah. And that's what they did. Mary couldn't help but notice how energized these shepherds were. They couldn't wait, as they said, to tell everyone who would listen what they had been told about her baby, Jesus. Mary had an incredible series of supernatural events that revealed to her that her baby, Jesus, truly was the Messiah. So she pondered on all that had happened over the course of that period of time because she wanted to take it all in. She never wanted to forget any of it. Which brings us to a key point, and that is simply this. Jesus is worth remembering. Jesus is worth remembering. Like Mary, we too should treasure up all we know and have experienced with Jesus and ponder those things in our hearts as well. And here's why. Let me give you three reasons. The first is this. Ponder on Jesus so we never forget what he did for us. Forgetting his love or his teachings, the crucifixion or the resurrection, that can cause us to lose how essential our relationship with Jesus truly is. And if it happens long enough, it can actually lead to spiritual drift. So, reflect on Jesus so you never forget Jesus. The second thing that we ponder on Jesus because it can shape us to be more like him. The more we study and learn about him, the more we potentially can become like him. And then thirdly, pondering about Jesus prepares us to tell others about his love for them. Let me illustrate this point this way. Imagine that you discovered the cure for a terminal illness. Would you share that with people who are suffering from that illness? Of course you would, right? That would be the right thing to do. In fact, it would be heartless not to share it with others, right? Telling others about God's love for them, not just for you, but for them, can change their eternal destiny. You know, sharing what we call the gospel, the story of God's love and redemption, may seem intimidating at times. Trust me, I know that. But it's not complicated. It really isn't. Let me give you the four basic truths about Jesus that you and I should know and we should tell others about. The first is this. God loves you and wants a personal relationship with you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What keeps man from having that relationship? It's sin, which is the second basic truth that we find in the gospel, and that is that sin separates man from God. Romans 3:23 simply says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you feel bad about your sin, that's probably the Holy Spirit saying, hey, you're a sinner. But look around the room. Everybody's in the same category. All of us have sinned. We've all sinned, and sin makes a relationship with God impossible. Do you know why? Because God is holy. And because he's holy, he can't have any connection with sin. Paul says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin, or the price of sin, is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What Paul is saying here is this. Those who don't know Jesus or don't receive his forgiveness will face eternal death, separated from God. But those who accept God's grace will have eternal life. That brings us to the third basic truth that we should know and we should tell others, and that is Jesus is God's plan to save us from sin. Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Through the crucifixion, Jesus paid the penalty for our sins. And through the resurrection, he defeated the one power Satan had over us, and that was death. Jesus truly is the plan that God has to save us. It brings us to the final point that we should know and we should tell others about, and that is that only by receiving Jesus as your Savior and Lord can you have your sins forgiven. Listen to what we read in John, the first chapter, verse 12. It says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." If you've never taken that step of faith and you desire that today, there'll be some of us down front here at the close of this service. We'd love to share with you what we know about those steps to take. Let me close with this. God sent the angel Gabriel three times to announce the arrival of his son Jesus. And because of that, Mary realized that Jesus was no ordinary baby. He was the Son of God. She didn't want to forget one detail of what God was doing through this experience. She wanted to understand the full meaning and the purpose of his birth. And she would realize that Jesus didn't come just to be her baby. He came to die on a cross to be our Savior. His birth, his life, his crucifixion, and his resurrection are still vitally important today because Jesus is still transforming lives today. So let me encourage all of us to treasure up all the truth about Jesus that we know and all the experience we've had with him and ponder on those things in our hearts and never stop reflecting, because the moment will come when you will have an opportunity to pass this life-changing message on to someone else. And I hope you'll be prepared because you've been pondering all that God has done for you. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior. As we reflect today on his birth, when he made his entrance into this world, I pray that all of this time together will draw us close to you. Lord, I pray for those who come carrying burdens, who are hurting today. God, will you comfort them? Help us, Lord, to understand your plan to save us from sin. And thank you for loving us unconditionally. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, light is an interesting thing. It's a metaphor used a lot in the Bible. And it represents having the Spirit of God and the message of God in an individual's life. In fact, Jesus said to his followers, "You are the light of the world." One of the key properties about light is that it drives out darkness. Darkness hides things, light reveals them. Jesus coming into the world, Scripture tells us, he brought a light, a great light. And that light still shines today through the lives of those who have put their faith and trust in Jesus. The prophet Isaiah writes this. He says, "The people who walk in darkness will see a bright light. The light will shine on those who live in the land of death's shadow." Don't let your light go out, okay? Should not breathe on it, I guess. As I pass, I'm going to invite the staff to come and our elders to come. As I pass this light on. Oh, you think it's funny. I'm mortified by this example. This is important, all right? As I pass this light on to our staff and to our elders, and then we pass it along to one another, young and old, we're passing it around this room to a point where eventually every one of us have had an opportunity to receive it. And this simple example illustrates how the world could change from darkness to light when we pass along the life-changing message of Jesus, who is the light of the world. Well, our hope is that this kind of resets everything for your Christmas, draws us back to the center, and our encouragement is to you to go and be the light. Be the light. Let others know about Jesus. We were so honored to have you as participants today in this very special celebration of our Lord. And so take the hope and the peace of God with you as you go. And may you have a very, truly, a very Merry Christmas. God bless you all.